What Sendai actually is for is the reduction of the impact of disasters around the globe, with the intention to reduce human, economic, environmental losses due to disasters. What it tries to support is this notion that disasters, in fact, are not natural. Disasters affect communities depending on their level of vulnerability, which is also closely linked, usually with poverty and inequality. So it is not so much the natural hazard itself, but the conditions that are pre-existent in the area where the hazard occurs that are determinant in terms of the impact and intensity of the disaster situation.
It's about reducing as much risk as possible, but obviously, you know, we can't go around pretending that we can stop earthquakes, etc.
Exactly. We can't stop earthquakes, but we can build with seismic resistant building codes. You know, because it's not the earthquake that kills people, it's the buildings themselves.
Absolutely. So what's the link between Sendai and Montreal and the specific areas of interest for the numerous countries that make up the Americas?
The meeting in Montreal will be the first regional platform that will be meeting after Sendai. Now, Canada is quite important because in Montreal, countries will adopt this regional action plan for the implementation of Sendai framework in the Americas. And it will also provide the fora where countries will be able to discuss for the first time how they are doing in terms of implementing the Sendai framework and go through each of the global targets as well as the four priority areas that were defined by Sendai, understanding and knowing risk better, to strengthening governance for disaster risk to manage those risks, to invest in disaster resilience. Disaster risk reduction investments can actually equate to poverty reduction investments because they are closely linked. And finally, to also work more on preparedness aspects, because as you said, risk cannot be entirely eliminated. And we know, because of all the risk that has been accumulated in the past decades, we know that disasters will continue to happen. And therefore, we need to be better prepared, but also to look for how to address and how to tackle rehabilitation, reconstruction, and recovery.
Is there any evidence so far, Ricardo, of any of the sort of non-binding commitments that you mentioned that came about at Sendai? Is there any evidence of those lessons being put into practice so far since 2015 in the Americas in particular? I mean, are you sort of optimistic that this is going to translate into real life-saving action?
Yes, indeed. There are already some quite positive signs on implementation by countries. Just to give you an example, we are currently working with 10 countries in the Americas on the alignment of national disaster risk reduction strategies and plans to the Sendai framework spirit. In some cases, it's revising existing strategies and plans and aligning them to Sendai framework. In other cases, it's starting from scratch because countries did not have until now a national disaster risk reduction plan. And motivated by Sendai, they are starting to develop this type of instrument.
Do you have any concerns that you can spot at this stage, or that your issues that you're worried about where countries or regions aren't quite getting their act together fast enough? And is it all really about money in the end, having money and spending it wisely?
Yeah, that's not all, but of course it's quite important, and it's not necessarily more money, but it's, as you just said, this I would say is the main challenge, is actually for ministries of economy and finance to understand that whatever is put into disaster risk reduction is going to save money down the road. We know of the positive impact that disaster risk reduction investments have. The problem is also the fact that there is much more funding being put for disaster response activities than it is to disaster risk reduction activities. But from my point of view, the issue is how to integrate the disaster risk reduction lens into every investment that you are about to do. And for that, we are working closely with the national public investment systems to ensure that they use methodologies and tools that allow them to incorporate disaster risk considerations. And by the way, we need to do this, and we have started also to work with the private sector to push for the same paradigm shift, so that also the private investments, and as you know, private sector does a big portion of the total investments at the national level, so that they also work into resilient investments.
And I guess there are some risks that really are completely man-made or triggered by politics in a way, such as, I mean, conflict and terrorism. I mean, those presumably are very, very difficult to sort of prepare for and to inhibit.
Yeah, well, you know, the best cure for all those types of crises is, of course, economic development and social development. If we don't make development efforts risk sensitive, actually we are increasing the possibility of a country entering into an area where it is difficult to get out of, in the sense that, you know, disasters erode the economic and fiscal situation of countries. Disasters usually bring more people into poverty. Therefore, you can see disasters as a driver of potential conflicts down the road. And that's why it becomes so important, so crucial, to have investments in reducing risks.